Hey, believer, welcome to From Head to Heart. Do you know in your head God loves you, but struggle to feel it in your heart? Have you ever been let down by people so you believe God will let you down too? Do you ever feel like you have to choose between God or your feelings? I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I believed so many lies about my worth and identity in Christ. I wondered if I would ever be able to discern God's voice over my voice. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. Now is your time to finally know and understand God's love for you, that you can trust God and hear from God. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. Today is the first day you begin to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Hey friends, I am so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining me. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I am your host of From Head to Heart. And today we have a guest, Alicia Michelle, and she's a speaker, she's an author, she's a certified neuro coach, and she's also the podcast host of Christian Mindset. And for me, I think it's so important for us to address our faith and our feelings together and not separately because they both go together. So today we're going to be talking about overcoming anxiety, but really in the long terms of conviction, condemnation, control. We're going to be talking about honesty and safety with God and how all of this impacts anxiousness and the anxiety that we feel, because anxiety, as I've talked about many times here on the podcast, is really a symptom. It's a secondary issue of what's going on in our hearts. And so before you get to the interview, before, you know, I release you to go, I just want to remind you to join us inside of the Facebook group. And most importantly, get my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, if you really wrestle with this intersection of faith and feelings. Because inside of my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I actually walk you through step by step on what's happening in our bodies, how to overcome certain feelings, how to renew your mind to the truth, how to really embrace pain and not try to pray around it or go through it. But my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, really walks you through the process of healing with the Lord. So again, I have a free Facebook community. I would love for you to join us inside of there where we talk about healing with God. I go live answering your own personal questions inside that Facebook group and pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. If anxiety or feelings feel out of control for you and you don't even know where to start. Okay, now with all of that being said, now it's time to listen to the interview. Alicia, I am really pumped about this conversation because I know between you and I, we work with a lot of women, and this topic comes up about anxiousness, anxiety, and sometimes I think we settle into it as a part of our identity. Before we get to that part, what is it like to actually experience this in our bodies? I think that we know the word and we know what it is, but what is actually happening within us when we're experiencing this? Because I think sometimes we start to label things as one, or we don't even have a label or a name to be able to actually heal through it, right? Because we need to be able to name things to process and heal. So can you tell us what's happening in our bodies and what's going on when we're experiencing this?
So everything that we're experiencing when it comes to anxiety is a result of what's going on first as a thought in our mind. If we look at how the brain translates behavior, it starts with a thought and emotion that combine to create a belief. The belief creates a decision. Decision creates an action. Action creates a result. So while we're feeling things like our heart feels like it's beating out of its chest, or we're breathing heavily, or we just feel sick to our stomach, or all the things that come with anxiety, we have to go, okay, those are the outer manifestations of something that's happening deeper in our mind that started with a thought. So that's where I like to, when we're working around anxiety, to always, we can start with the result, but we have to always go back to and dig into what is causing that? What is the root cause behind it? And it always starts with the thought and the emotion that is triggering it.
I am huge on the root issue because we're treating so many symptoms. And I know I say that because I've done this, right? You're like, okay, I need to lose weight, or I need to walk more, or I need to read the Bible more. And so we just start adding things into our calendar and we try to make it pretty, and we buy a new planner and we try to get a new workout, right? And really, that's not going to solve the issue that you hate your body, that you hate yourself, and you're just buying another planner to try to cover that up. So can we talk about the root? How does it we actually get to the root of anxiety and what's actually happening within us?
Oh, that is a great question. It's a huge question. And again, I am one who appreciates looking at the root. As someone who struggled with anxiety her entire life and always had always tried to address that and issues of like perfectionism and people pleasing, things like that, by just, like you said, finding the new planner, finding the new quick fix, and realizing God had to take me to a place, which we don't have time to go into here, where I nearly lost my life due to a medical crisis that was brought on by stress of not addressing those things. And when I had to heal from that, that was the healing answer. It wasn't, you just need to take a nap more, or you just need to whatever. It was, you have to get to the root of what's going on here, friend. Like, this is how it's going to be healed. So when we look at anxiety, the first step that I tell ladies is, first of all, to come to that place of acknowledging that it's real, acknowledging that it's there, that there's a reason behind it, that you're not crazy, that it makes sense in some way. Even though in the moment you're like, why am I anxious? Because I'm just driving here, or I'm just talking to this person. Why would that make me anxious? There is something going on that may not be obvious on the outside, but it's there. And so acknowledging it and noticing it is the first step. And these steps, it's so important when we take these steps with the compassion and the love and grace of Christ, because when he looks at us, he doesn't immediately just shut us down. Well, that's stupid. You're dumb. You shouldn't believe that. Or you shouldn't think that. You know, he sits with us in the pain. He feels what we're going through. He doesn't excuse sin. We're not saying that, but he has compassion for us and sees it and allows us to work through it. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy in this, and that we shut it down. And we say, you shouldn't think like this. That's bad for a Christian to think like this. You know the truth. Why can't you just figure it out? What's wrong with you? Just work harder. Just get the new planner, or whatever it is, like you're saying. But sitting and stopping and allowing ourselves to acknowledge it with grace and love and compassion and curiosity. Curiosity is huge. And that's the first step. Obviously, we don't have time to go through all of the steps, but I would say starting with that and then moving towards a recognition or recognizing that we have God-given authority and power over all of our thoughts. And I know that sometimes that's kind of thrown around, but when we get to that place of seeing, you know what, I have control over what I think about. And again, I'm almost my worst enemy sometimes because I allow myself to stay stuck in this. So what am I doing to keep that going? And then we can move into other brain-based ways that are mindset tools to help us as vehicles. Like, those are the vehicles to be able to take God's truth and put them in. Again, we don't have time to go into all the vehicles, so to speak. Those are some things I share in the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit and other things, but those are the steps, starting with recognizing and acknowledging, recognizing our power that God has given us, and then realizing that there are specific vehicles from brain science we can use to put God's truth in there to correct it and to change it.
I love that. I think that, you know, with this subject, we kind of fall into two camps. One, it is sometimes really hard to acknowledge that we're the ones causing ourselves this pain.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and it's easy to say, no, it's because this, and this, and it's because of everybody else. But there's also this responsibility and this, like you said, this awareness that I am still choosing which path I'm taking. And then we have the other side where we want to take charge and we want to take control because we don't trust God with our heart. We don't trust God with our pain. And so what do you say to the woman that is saying, like, I don't want to even address it because I feel shame for even feeling this way. And so I don't even want to say it's my fault that I keep thinking this way. Cause I know that sometimes in culture, we always want to put the blame on everyone else and everything else. And the goal is to get the shame away. But the Lord really says, I want you to come to me. So how do you address that kind of tension?
I am so glad you brought this up because this is so important. And I think there's two sides of it. First, we have to recognize that the quote shame that we're talking about, God is not there to bring us shame. He's there to bring us conviction. But that is different than condemnation, which is what shame is. Condemnation is from the enemy and says, you're wrong, you're bad, you can never change, why keep going, you're hopeless. Conviction says, yeah, you made a mistake and I understand why you made that mistake. Let me show you a different way. There's always hope in conviction. There is hopelessness in condemnation. So there's that aspect of it. We have to separate out, wow, what am I feeling? Because it's not bad to be convicted. We all need conviction. And the longer that I grow in the Lord and the more I know him, I just wrote in my journal before we got on here that conviction is the root to humility. It's the root to growth in the Lord. It is, we need that continually, but we have to differentiate between conviction and shame. So starting with there, and then also we are not going to be able to trust God and let go in these areas if there has been some trust issues broken. And I say that because I see it with the women I work with, women who have gone to church their whole life, who know who God is. But when we start digging in there and seeing why is it difficult for me to believe these truths about God, or why is it difficult for me to let go of these things, we have to recognize, well, there was that thing that happened 3 years ago with a friend who really hurt me, or my daughter who got sick and passed away unexpectedly. God, you didn't answer that prayer request. What's up with that? You know, there are these things that we just sometimes play the good, happy Christian and move through and don't address, but they stay in our mind. And our mind, when it has to let go of something, it's like, whoa, you know, I know on the outside that God is good, but there's this little thing in here that I need to work through with God. And so sometimes some of that letting go and around the shame stuff too, we have to be safe with God. And in any way of a relationship, a marriage, if there's been any sort of issue, we have to work through that first. So those two things would be where I would start to deal with the very real and common issue of, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to deal with this, of shame.
I think as believers, we have a really hard time with conviction and condemnation and throwing it all into condemnation because there are times where conviction can feel as though it's condemnation.
Sure.
But it's the painful narrative, you know, it's the words that are used that I think are different, because conviction can still hurt our hearts.
Of
like,
course.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and condemnation can still feel like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. But it's the narrative that comes with condemnation. So can you just differentiate between the two narratives that we hear between conviction and condemnation?
Sure. Conviction is that loving correction, the kind of loving correction that we would hope to attain as a parent with our children. We're never going to parent perfectly. And we can let our own emotions get in the way of parenting at times, unfortunately. But if we were to draw that perfect parent line of, wow, yeah, that hurts. That's not okay that you did this. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to just say, whatever, you're done. I can't even deal with you. There's still a love behind it. There's still a care. There's still an interest, a vested hope that things will change. That is condemnation. And that is a healthy, normal part of a Christian's walk. That's conviction. I'm sorry. That's conviction. Condemnation, on the other hand, is the enemy's way to point a finger at us, rub our nose in it, say again, like, you messed up again. It's there to draw up all of the bad things and that we did in the past. Now, conviction can draw lines between how this is a pattern, but condemnation says, this is a pattern. You're bad. You're never going to change. Again, the hopelessness that's there. And that keeps us pushed down. Like it just builds on itself. All the other things that we might find with it. You do this wrong and you do this wrong. So it's a movement towards more harshness and a putting down, a silencing and like of darkness, versus the conviction is a loving embrace towards what's good and where we need to go. That's how I would describe the difference.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did that. I think, again, it's important for us to recognize that. It's in the moment, I know it's hard, but that's where we have to be slow and stop and ask ourselves, maybe not in that moment, but maybe at night or when you're in the shower, or because those are the moments where you have space and space in your mental, right? Space mentally, I want to say. How do you begin to help women embrace the word of God within their bodies and not just in their mind?
Embracing the word of God in our bodies. That's a great way to put it. Well, there are practical things, like I use a technique called brain priming to, it's a brain science technique to rewire the subconscious thoughts that are driving the patterns. It's a 63 to 67 day process. It's a very specific process that I do in some of my programs. So there's that aspect, but in terms of just welcoming in God's word, I mean, that's literally using God's word and putting it in our subconscious mind, but letting it be a part of our bodies and who we are. I think it's goes back to that awareness and a release of what's going on emotionally in us. I often encourage ladies to do this practice that is from another book. I can't think of the name of the book right now, but she calls it her morning pages. And it's literally just writing three pages. As part of this discipline, she encourages us doing it every morning. But when I feel stuck, when I start to feel those emotions or anxieties start to kind of rise up in me, I know that there's some stuff that needs to kind of be cleared out so that the word of God can come in. Because there's all these swirling, conflicting things that are real, that have a reason for being there, but I need to process them and let them go, not just try to slap the scripture over them, because then it's like, I'm not seeing, it's like I'm trying to silence what I'm feeling, which is not necessarily good. And it's battling against each other, right? Versus just saying, let's release what's here to God. Let's confess it. Let's share it. Let's cast our cares on him. And then, Lord, fill me up. Then let your spirit come into me. So just having a regular time of releasing that, of letting go of it, of being honest before God, which again goes back to safety. So many of these things that are going to motivate us to be different go back to understanding our relationship with Christ as a real active relationship that we can trust him with versus just a set of rules that we do in church culture and follow by going to church on Sunday and doing the Bible study and all the right things. The fruit is going to be seen in how we apply our relationship with God in these situations. So if that's something that's a challenge, we have to start with getting real with ourselves about who we are in Christ and where we have allowed ourselves to become in terms of trust and safety with him, so that we can release, so that the word of God can come in.
Kind of a long explanation. I 100% agree with you as far as feeling safe with God, because it is hard to cast our cares on God if we don't believe that he cares.
Right, exactly.
And we're going to read that scripture, and that's great. But for me, I don't want you just to memorize it. I want you to actually believe it and live it. And that's really where the podcast comes, like from head to heart. That's why I call it from head to heart, to get it from our head into our heart and to be able to live that out. And so I just want to end with, you know, you addressing, because we're talking about anxiety, anxiousness in our bodies, conviction, condemnation, of just encouraging women on the aspect of unforgiveness in our heart and how sometimes that can be a root of the anxiousness that we feel, because sometimes we feel out of control with our emotions or anger, and all of that can easily become a symptom of anxiety. So what would you encourage the woman that is harboring or dealing with unforgiveness or control or somewhere along those lines of anger, and it's manifesting itself as anxiety?
I think that is very normal, and it's very understandable when we have anxiety resulting from those things. The first thing I would always recommend is to not run from it, to not be afraid of it, to not try to talk ourselves out of it, that, oh, I should just, why can't I just let this go? Why can't I just forgive this person? Why can't I stop this? But to be real and honest about it. And this may be the moment where you move from trusting in God on a more superficial level to a deeper level, where you bring it to him and say, I know you tell me to forgive. I know you tell me to let this go, but I really need your help because I can't do that right now. I don't know how to do that. And I see it now resulting in these broken relationships and this anxiety in me, and I'm trying all these things. Lord, help me. This might be the moment that God has designed. In fact, I believe that He has all kinds of little moments in our days that He designs to bring us to a more sincere connection with Him. So my encouragement would be, look to God and let Him help you, and let this, just even if you have a tiny bit of trust, to move forward and to see as you look at this that it's reasonable that you're feeling this way. You don't have to have a quick answer for it, but that being with the Lord and letting Him work with you in it and sit in it, He will allow you to find your way through it. That the answer isn't just to shove it down, to slap a Christian platitude on it and try to muddle our way through it, which is what a lot of us do, because it's easier to do that. Let's face it. Who wants to sit in it and process with the Lord? That's hard, but that is the route to healing. Because if we don't, it's like an inner wound that's going to keep coming up and keep showing itself as a, you know, outward manifestation. It's like, we got to deal with that. We got to work with that. So again, with the most love and care that we can do that, that would be what I would encourage ladies to do.
Yeah, that's really great advice of just, you know, being honest with God and getting to that place of safety. But it is going to take addressing, well, where is this belief that I'm holding against God? Where is this in my heart that I'm believing something to be true because something happened to me here on earth? Yeah. And maybe somebody hurt me, so I think that God's going to hurt me. And we often do that. And so, Alicia, thank you so much for your wisdom and your time today. Where can women go to learn more about you and see what you have to offer that you help women with?
No, thank you. It's been awesome to share with you. As we got on the podcast today, I recognized again, like, you and I are similar in how we want to really help women address the roots behind these emotional issues. So thank you for the opportunity to share with your listeners today. I would love to connect with them at my site, which is vibrantchristianliving.com. You can find a free training there on what to do when you don't feel enough. There's also anxiety resources there. It's something called the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit. That's a step-by-step plan to help you figure out what you can do to work through anxiety in some of the ways that we've talked about today. So I would love to connect with you there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'll have the links below for you guys to go get. And again, just thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you struggle with feelings of deep loneliness, fear of rejection, or FOMO? Do you battle depression and anxiety on a daily basis? Are you unsure of how to handle it all? Do you want to learn how to make better and wiser decisions, deal with past trauma, heal from heartbreak, walk in forgiveness, all from a biblical perspective? I know what it feels like to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders while feeling like you are slowly drowning in it all. I wish I could get rid of the pain that I felt. Yet, I couldn't understand how God loved me on a personal level. Imagine if you had a framework where someone was there to help guide you on how to handle it all while growing your relationship with God and finally learning how to trust Him. This isn't about just praying away your feelings, your loneliness. This is about knowing you don't have to accept them, but you get to walk with the Lord through them. That's why I created the Spiritual Growth Framework course, where I teach you how to heal your heart and your life on the most practical level from a biblical perspective. Friend, it's not about how much you know, but how much you believe about what you know. You don't have to pray away your pain or pretend like it doesn't exist anymore. You don't have to memorize scripture hoping it will all go away. Is memorizing scripture important? Yes, but it's not the only thing. God's with you now and forever. He cares about your pain and your feelings. In my Spiritual Growth Framework course, you'll be able to walk away with practical application steps to heal every day. Not just on long weekends or in the perfect quiet time. I'm here to show you how healing is possible, even in the smallest pockets of time. What if you said goodbye to emotional wounds, unforgiveness, and pain, and say hello to a newfound relationship with God? A place where you feel safe, heard, seen, and loved. A place where you feel like you didn't have to hide. Head on over to jessicahoddle.com/heal to join me today inside of my Spiritual Growth Framework course, where your feelings have a seat at the table but will no longer be the centerpiece. It's time to heal your heart and your life. Head to jessicahoddle.com/heal to get started, and I'll see you there, friend.